And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Advent season, as we look with anticipation and preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth, but as the prophets of old, as we look beyond the historical event of Jesus' first coming, we look forward to that time when the Lord's going to return in all of his glory and gather all of his church together. You find that hard to be patient in the journey sometimes? Well, this morning, I'd like us to focus on patience, and I'd like to read James 5 again, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And here ends this reading from James. But be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Well, when you hear the word patience, what comes to your mind? You know, the definition of patience, one definition I pulled out of a dictionary is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Well, those words are easy to say, right? But not so easy to live out in our lives. And I have failed horribly at this many times. So I shouldn't really be up here preaching. But hey, we're all sinners, right? And so we have to be careful with a lack of patience. And certainly it's evident in the culture that you and I are living in today. And one place I see it every day is when I'm driving, and you probably do too, but there's been quite a shift, and you just see the impatience playing out. Last Friday evening, Lindy and I were out on our date night. We're stopped at a stoplight where you could go right, and there's two cars ahead of us, and the car could have made a right turn on right because there's nobody coming, and there's a pickup behind us. And the car didn't go, so guess what the pickup behind us does? Lays on the horn. And I wanted to just get out and go talk to the guy. You know, I mean, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to push two cars ahead of me out of the way so you can go? I mean, there's not a whole lot that I can do here. So I was getting a little impatient. But it can fire up so quickly in the culture in which we live, without getting angry or upset. And boy, switches can go off immediately now of being upset and anger over virtually nothing. And that's just being out there driving a car, everyday life event. But we live in a fast-paced world, don't we? And you know, delay really isn't even an option anymore. Think of Amazon, for instance, and they're playing off of this very well. Used to be, you know, a second-day delivery. Well, now they're trying to get it down to day of delivery. I wonder how much faster they can go at this. You call on the phone, and it's kind of like Jimmy John's. The guy's already there at your door. And it's like that's what our culture is demanding today. And if it's not that quick and fast, then I'm going to become angry. Because this is just not permissible for something to be delayed or late. Oh, impatience can become very ugly. And certainly can lead to hatred, to disrespect, to division, to rage, to stress. pretty timely, I would say, wouldn't you, that the Almighty God comes to us through James and simply says, be patient, brothers. And then I love the illustrations that are given by the Lord through James. And the first one is to be patient like the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. And, you know, I grew up in that world, and probably a number of people here in the sanctuary this morning did as well. But growing up on a wheat farm, winter wheat, talk about patience. You plant the seed in the soil in September, and then you wait through all of the winter into the next spring, into the next early summer before the harvest comes. And boy, there's a lot of things that can go wrong within that time frame, and that's your income out there in the fields. And it's kind of ironic if it's dry, then you may not have a crop at all, or it's going to be very little. And if you get abundant moisture, it's like, great, this is going to be awesome. But then when you have a lot of moisture, you also have hail or the threat of it. And so you can have a bumper crop out there one day, and the next day it's mowed down by a hailstorm. I admired my dad and his patience, and I didn't understand the monetary part when I was young. Shouldn't surprise us that the Lord uses that as an analogy. All of those months just waiting to be patient. And then the Lord says through James, take the prophets. How about Isaiah? Do you think his journey was an easy one? Oh my gosh. You know, tradition holds that Isaiah was executed for being a prophet. They put him in a hollowed out log, and then they sawed the log in half, including his body. What a horrible way to die. And here he is a prophet of the Lord, one who is steadfast, one who is faithful. And you think, well, where's the fairness in that? But it's the reality of the world that we live in that rebels for the most part against God. Or you think of the prophet Jeremiah. Can you imagine as you follow Jeremiah's journey? And it's a prosperous time, kind of like in the United States of America. And financially prosperous, it's going very well for most people economically. And yet here's the prophet Jeremiah warning, this is all going to change because you've turned away from God. And if you don't turn back to God, you're going to lose all of this. In fact, you're even going to go into exile. And of course, the people of the land, including the leaders who claimed that they were following God, they were on Jeremiah's case continually. In fact, remember Jeremiah came to one of the kings with the scroll that God inspired him to write. King looks at it, takes the scroll, begins to tear it apart in little pieces and throw it into the fire and says, you know, that's what I think of your scroll, Jeremiah. Can you imagine the patience? I mean, this went on for years. And yet Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets, they were saint and sinner, but they remained steadfast. They remained patient. And if that isn't enough, what about God himself? Have you ever thought how God looks upon this earth from time to time? You know, from eternity past, think about it, God knew that we would fall into sin. From eternity past, God knew that the majority of the world would reject him, mock him, deny him. And yet, God created us anyway. And then after creating us, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they fall into sin. And all the generations to follow, right up to you and me today, we continue to contribute to that sin. And think about that for God's, from his perspective, that he patiently deals with this. And of course, it goes to the extreme with God's only Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, as Jesus also was denied, rejected, mocked, and then finally crucified. And Jesus steadfastly endured all of that. And even as they were nailing Jesus to the cross, you know, what a time to lash out in anger and impatience. And yet, what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very Son of God dies on that cross. But we know death could not hold him, and he rose victoriously from the grave. And we know that he lives, and in living, we know that he offers the gift and the security of everlasting life. Did you catch it at the beginning of this? Be patient, therefore, brothers. You know, in Scripture, when the term brothers is used, by the way, this includes the ladies in the room, it's children, it's a reference to the church. It's the body of Christ, those who acknowledge, believe, and trust Jesus Christ to be exclusively the Savior of the world. It is the body of believers, and there is grace right there in that announcement in these words. Be patient, therefore, brothers. God acknowledging to you and me that we are his children. God acknowledging to us that he understands the struggles and the trials that we go through, and certainly the difficulty in trying to live a life in a patient way. It's not easy. In fact, did you hear it? Verse 8, you also be patient, establish your hearts. Establish your hearts. Well, what does that mean? In other translations, it says stand firm. But as you put this together, it's really allowing God into our lives, allowing God into our hearts. In other words, being in the Word of God, receiving His supper when that's offered here at the table on a regular basis. Through these means of grace, as the Lord continues to feed and nurture our souls, our hearts become firmly established in the Lord, and firmly prepared, by the way, for when the Lord indeed does return. And so we are blessed to live in the history of this event, aren't we? This whole event, talk about the gospel event presented in front of us from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ to his death on the cross, to his resurrection, to his ascension into heaven. It's all historical. We are blessed to live in this time that we can look back and say, yeah, all of these incredible events happened, and look at God's patience in being steadfast himself despite people slaughtering his prophets, burning his word in the fire, rejecting and rebelling against him through sin. And yet, historically, the Lord has accomplished this work of salvation. And today has not changed. He offers the blessings of the victory won to the world. And through faith, it personally becomes our own. And we know that. We believe that. We live in that. And there's one last major event to happen, isn't there? And that's when the Lord returns. And you know what? We're all going to be there. The unbelievers will be there because everyone is going to rise from the dead, the bodies, and in body and soul, we're all going to stand before Jesus. That day is coming. Can you imagine seeing Jesus as Peter, James, and John did on the Mount of Transfiguration? And here Jesus is in the flesh in all of his glory and splendor, and he's standing in our presence. That's our future. That's God's promise. Could be this afternoon, might be next year, maybe 1,000 years from now. Only God knows when that event will occur. But it will happen. Just like the harvest will come in. There, sometimes that can be a little iffy, I guess. But I can't remember a year growing up on the farm that we didn't get a harvest. But what we do know is the Lord is coming. And in the meantime, the Lord calls upon us to be patient. Patient knowing God's compassionate and merciful heart. Isn't it wonderful that we can gather and worship as we do here and begin with confession and absolution? We can come before God and we don't have to try and hide our sin. We couldn't anyway, but knowing God's compassion and mercy and His patience with us, that we can just lay it all before the Lord. And what does God say to us? I forgive you. You're already forgiven. This is our life as God's precious children. And so here we are. And the question is, though, how then we approach life? Are we the guy in the pickup behind me laying on the horn because nobody's moving fast enough? Do you know what an influence, especially in the times in which you and I are living? Just simply living in joyful patience. And by the way, joy is unlike happiness. You know, happiness is based on everyday circumstances. And boy, one day we can be just at the top of our game. Life is going great, and it seems like a perfect day. And then we get a phone call, and man, it can change instantly. And happiness goes out the window immediately, right? But that's not joy. Because joy is happiness that is centered and based in not worldly events and things, but in God's promises and blessings. And so we can have the absolute worst of days we could ever imagine living on the face of this earth, and yet we live in the reality of what God has accomplished for us and consider the greatness of His love to do this in the first place, and it's never going to change. That phone call's not going to come. That sudden change isn't going to happen. God's not going to say, oh, I changed my mind. But we can stand on solid ground every day in the reality that God is merciful and He is compassionate. And think how empowering that is for us. When we're going through the worst of times as Christians, and people still see that joy within us, can't have a greater testimony than that one. It even leads people to ask, how can you be like this in light of what's going on? Well, in closing, as we think about that definition again of patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate, delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Another driving story. Because they happen every day now. So I'm on 10th Street, headed west. West of 56th Avenue, headed towards 71st Avenue. Is it 59th? Yeah, I guess it's 59th, isn't it? Going down that hill. And there's a car going about 25 because they're confused. Apparently, they're kind of looking where they're going to turn. So I look in my mirror. There's a car way back here in the left lane. I pull out in the left lane, and this guy just comes flying up on me. He's got his brights going on and off. I don't know what it is, but that one really gets to me. That one could get the pastor into road rage. And I almost was going there, and I thought, don't go there. And you know what? So we're going, he's right on me, and then I go in the right lane, and wouldn't you know, he goes in the right lane. And we go all the way to the Windsor exit this way. But on the way, we get to a light, and he's parked beside me. And I thought, you know, I could really be angry, which that part's kind of coming up. Or I could pray. And you know what? I began to pray. And it totally changed the way I was looking at that individual. I thought, who knows what's going on in his life? It could be something really horrifying, and he's just in an emotional state right now, and he's usually not that way. And through prayer and patience with that, it totally changes our perspective on another human being, no matter what they're doing. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, because believe me, I've failed at that many times in terms of being patient. But that was one time where God really caught my heart and got me in the place where I needed to be. Think how empowering that is. When God's people are out there, even on the roadways, that incident could have turned into a road rage event immediately. Somebody could have maybe even been killed in that event. But if God's people are living the patience joyfully and seeing the huge picture and then praying that others that we may think are bringing harm to us, praying for them, that they too would know Jesus, totally changes the situation. And as I look at the membership here this morning in worship, as I look at all of the people gathered here, we're quite a few folks here this morning. Imagine being out in the community during the week, and we are. Just simply carrying that joyful patience, and how many events that can diffuse in the heat of anger and rage that is out there today. But most of all, to know we're here to serve. And one day the Lord's going to return. And what a joy when we see Him. And when we're with our loved ones who have gone before us for eternity. In His name, we give thanks and praise. And dear Lord, help us to live in that compassion and mercy as You show it to us, that we may extend it to others. In Your precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.